Merci.
Thank you. I'll speak in French just to say that I'm a professor at Geneva University and with a UNESCO chair. I'm going to speak about places of minority, visibility of minority places, place names in public spaces. Now, the visibility of minority place names has made undeniable progress in recent decades. Now, what do we mean by place name, minority place name, so to speak? So you've got vernacular place names or indigenous place names in post-colonial contexts. There are also place names that one can describe as being original in the regional language. You also have place names which are those of produced by local communities, especially in informal settlements. Finally, we could add names which reflect claims for memory when it comes to street names. This touches on issues of obviously gender and post-colonial issues. Now, in terms of progress, what have we seen? So the issue of toponyms, it appeared in 1992 in the European Charter for Regional or Minority Languages. Also, the issue of toponyms is present in the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. In recent decades, we've seen the practice of signage displaying multilingual or alternative signage in regional toponyms. There are also operations to restitute indigenous place names. And finally, there's been progress in decolonization and feminization of street names. One textbook case is, which combines several of those approaches, is that of post-apartheid South Africa. South Africa post-apartheid carried out a series of initiatives from renaming cities, including the capital, without completely deleting the colonial name, and also operations of renaming streets in the townships, in the suburbs, as well as these are more participative undertakings. And there's also the use, fairly systematic use, of multilingual signage. But there have also been risks, recessions, risks, and delays. Now, in terms of recessions, we've seen, if you like, toponymic cleansing with territorial conquest accompanying those kinds of measures, but also more generally, policies which can deny the presence or culture or by toponymic cleansing. We've also seen backtracking on regional autonomies and initiatives with a return to a sort of hegemony of the national majority language. There's also operations of top-down street addressing, which completely ignore vernacular place naming. Now, what are the risks? Well, the risks is homogenization and hegemony through translation. It's not enough to have a name in a regional language. It needs to be the name in the regional language, and not just translations from the national language. Then also you have standardization and stabilization promoted by the toponym commissions. This can be a problem when they foster homogenization and maintaining toponymic hegemony. Now, the core issue is the focus on a jurisdictional approach to toponymy with one territory equals one sovereignty equals one language, an exclusive language. The other problem is that of toponym commissions who could foster standardization and sovereignty over the goals of inclusivity. In other words, sacrifice certain cultural rights to technical and jurisdictional constraints. Now, there is a big chance that we need to exploit, which is that of the digital turning point. The digital cartographic revolution could see the redistribution of toponymic maps. You all know the private tools like Google Maps, not the only one, but also collaborative tools like OSM and Wikimapia. These are the basis of navigation systems used by almost everyone, and which is also the basis of the infography which we see everywhere. So there is a possibility to promote and raise the profile of alternative toponymy on those platforms. Then we also have standardization of street names promoted by a number of international organizations, and which is and reflects the need for geolocalization. Now, during those street naming operations, opportunities that we can take advantage of vernacular toponym inventories, popular inventories, and of a kind of a memorial kind. Now, I'll conclude with a recommendation. I think that the main recommendation that can be drawn from this is that of drawing up a specific charter of inclusive toponym rights, or at least to develop existing spheres in a number of charters that I've already mentioned, or declarations. Now, what could the developments be? For example, the need today to bring on board actors from digital cartography and those from geographic name standardization in our considerations of an inclusive toponym strategy, because these are the new opportunities that are appearing. There's also a need to promote participative diagnostics of vernacular toponymy when there are street naming operations underway or cartography operations. These street naming operations are pushed by international organizations. You can see them all around the world today. These are fantastic opportunities to collect information and draw up inventories, which would then be resources for naming policies. Now, the last point that goes with this is establishing a database or inventory of vernacular databases or inventories complementing official databases. And finally, the affirmation of the principle of toponymic non-hegemony with possible alternative displays by local governments on the one hand and on digital platforms on the other. Thank you.